An employee-owned company providing employment services since 1998. Finding a job has always been challenging, but in 2022-23, I think we can drop the 2022, it's now even more daunting. Palmer Group was founded to change the dynamic and focus on both clients and candidates to make lives better. The company's motto of getting candidates, companies on the same page to make things happen has never been more important or challenging. Currently, over 334 jobs are open on the website at thepalmergroup.com. Jobs in accounting, finance, admin, customer services, manufacturing, information technologies, mortgage, and banking. Keep both the staff and the candidates very happy. Check out the website and find out what Palmer Group can do for you.
And now we have something special for our audience. We have Melissa O'Neill coming in. She's the Chief Executive Officer, Central Iowa Shelter and Services. She's a rock star. What she does is unbelievable. She came and talked at Scott and I's Breakfast Club, and I looked at Scott and I'm like, oh my goodness, that is somebody that we have to have come on the show. When we had Knapp Properties Christmas party, we auctioned off a Yeti cooler, and I'm like, okay, this is where it's going. We raised like $315. So during the Christmas break, we went down and visited with Melissa and Melissa, which is easy to remember because they're both Melissa, so it's kind of fun.
Absolutely.
And I was impressed when I came, and I thought, man, this is going to be so cool. I'm going to get to talk to Melissa. We're going to walk around. And the one thing I didn't think of is I brought my wife with me, and they have way more in common, and now I'm like second fiddle. But I've got her on my radio show. So, Melissa, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks so much for having me tonight.
Well, we appreciate you coming on. I would assume that this time of year is not an easy time of year for you just because everything that's going on with the holidays and just some of the issues that everyone's facing during this time.
Yeah, I think you you came down right after we had gotten out of our first round of weather amnesty this winter. And as you noted, it is a challenging time with the extreme weather and extreme cold that we have here in Iowa. We obviously get very busy within our emergency shelter and in our clothing closet, just making sure that people have the warm clothing that they need, as well as a roof over their head.
And the thing that I was most impressed with is also the ability to make sure that they have a meal. And you also have people that are in the shelter that are helping make the meals and do that. And you have a cleaning crew that helps do that as well, just to try to get them, you know, to have that what esteem's not enough, to give them value again, to think that they have value because they do have value.
Yeah, I think, you know, we like to talk about self-efficacy and helping people understand that they can have an effect within our world today, the world that we live in, regardless of your stature within our community. And oftentimes our janitorial program, our community kitchen program, and our farm program, those that you're referencing, provide us an opportunity to help people regain the confidence that they once had before moving into our emergency shelter or into one of our affordable housing units. So I can say with a great amount of pride, I will put the cleanliness of my building up against absolutely anybody because as you build people's self-efficacy and their confidence, they take great pride in the space in which they live and which they operate. Our community kitchen is no different. I mean, we have an army of volunteers that come in and provide meals, lunch and dinner in particular, to residents within our facility, and then it's a part of our street outreach program. And we also have some of those same residents cooking and serving and learning some of those valuable life skills that they can take with them once they regain housing stability.
And that was when we came through, and once again, we're talking to Melissa O'Neill. She's a Chief Executive Officer, Central Iowa Shelter and Services. I think one of the things that Jennifer and I talked about after we left was they feel that it's sustainable because they have a mission, they have a purpose. We walked through the kitchen, we walked in where everybody was, and it's not, you know, when you have... I mean, we're strangers. When you have, they're not hiding. They're not, I mean, they're out there. They want to talk to you. They understand that they're trying to get from point A to point G. And no matter where they're at, they're at least know that they're moving that way. I mean, there's been times in my life I haven't been able to think through to move that way. And it excites me that you have and your staff have that ability to help them get to that point.
Well, and I think about it, you know, there's when somebody first knocks on the door and enters our emergency shelter, there's so much uncertainty. And what we're trying to do from the baseline is meet them where they're at. Just like if I were to come to your house, knock on the door and tell you I was struggling a little bit, I'm confident that you and Jennifer would invite me in. We'd sit around the kitchen table and you'd probably offer me something to eat or something to drink. And we do the exact same thing and really more that family setting. And what happens in that is people really start to understand that they're safe, that they're in control, that they're a part of people that are going to serve them without any judgment. And oftentimes what we find by the time somebody goes to move out is not only will they give you the shirt off their back and make sure that you're taken care of, but then they actually come back and volunteer and serve again for the remainder of their life because they know that they too can have a positive effect on another person. So I think people are oftentimes surprised how kind, how generous, how thoughtful the people are within our shelter. And so it really breaks down a lot of myths that our community has.
Before we get to some of the really interesting things that you're doing at your program, if it's a clinic or if it's self-sustaining food that you're getting ready to do, if you had somebody like Scott or I walked in your building and we said, what's the biggest thing that we could do to help you? What would your answer be?
You know, right now, financial support goes a long way. A lot of times the financial support allows us to leverage additional resources and funds within our community, no different than housing urban development. One of my new favorite programs we have coming up in 2023 has to do with employment and training. And that one actually will leverage a dollar-for-dollar match. So financial support is right now the greatest need. Now, next weather amnesty comes around in a couple of weeks. You come in and ask me that exact same question. I'm probably going to tell you hand warmers, blankets, gloves, hats, those traditional items, undergarments, traditional items that oftentimes get overlooked when it comes to serving those in our community.
Once again, we're talking to Melissa O'Neill. She's a Chief Executive Officer of Central Iowa Shelter and Service. So during our walkthrough, we just kept having surprises after surprises. So you have your own clinic that people can use in your facility. I'll let you talk about that here in a second. And then you can dive right into, I know it's your baby. I know it's a baby who you're having a hard time teaching them how to be potty trained or whatever, but your vegetable and all that, it's fascinating.
The greenhouse.
But, the greenhouse. But let's talk a little bit about the clinic first, and then you can hit on the greenhouse.
Well, you know, the clinic is really what started some of that greenhouse expansion conversation, so it really is a good spot to start. Inside our emergency shelter, we have a full healthcare clinic, and one of the ahas that took place early on as we sat around that kitchen table doing intakes is we needed to create a baseline for health and wellness and better understanding not only of where people were at with mental health and addiction, but where were they at physically. And so on the intake, we would immediately make a referral to that healthcare clinic that would then give us a baseline of somebody's health. How is their blood sugar? What is their blood pressure? How are they feeling mentally, emotionally? Did they laugh today? Did they get enough sleep? How did they do for drinking water? And because of those conversations, we really started to dial in the correlation between food and behavior and what that does with mental health and substance abuse. And so it was because of the healthcare clinic and the team from Exemplar Care that sat down and really helped us take a hard look at what we were serving food-wise within our kitchen. So we always had this little greenhouse in the backyard. There was one summer, we had this amazing woman come down and really volunteered a lot of her time to start our farm training program. And she grew 10,000 pounds of vegetables and fruit in our backyard. And this little 750 square foot greenhouse and about, 16 raised beds. I'm like, well, shoot, if she can do that with that little one, what could I do with a big one? And how many more people could I feed? And how much could I expand our mission and our job training program while also creating a food secure urban core? And so that's kind of where the question posed. And lo and behold, there were some community members that had the same vision and belief, and they gave us the financial resources that we needed to now build that 3,600 square foot greenhouse We are your largest tilapia farmer now in the state of Iowa, and we produce about 6,000 heads of lettuce monthly within our facility, 8 different varieties of lettuce. And it's an awesome program. We put people back to work living in our shelter, but learning also a high demand industry career while regaining self-sufficiency. It is such a morale boost. People knock on the door waiting to get into Aaron's program to learn these skills. And these are people that don't even live in the shelter. These are people in our community who want to learn how to do what our urban farm manager is teaching our residents how to do.
That was one of the things, tilapia. That's exactly what you think you're going to see as you're taking a tour with Melissa through the building. And it was fascinating.
Something that I know when we heard you speak, and it was just to hear your, I guess the excitement's not the word, but I mean the passion in your voice of this. I mean we likened it that day because I know you've got some college sports in your background and such, but it's you're a recruiter, you're a political advisor, you're all these different
she's
things.
She's a coach. She's a general manager.
Right. She's everything.
She's got the whole sports thing down.
But with one thing that I mean, we're speaking of the location down on Mulberry. Everybody knows of it, and that's continuing to expand and stuff like that. But your activity, you're traveling to communities left and right. I mean, you're out recruiting help. You're looking for locations. You're looking for somebody, a property that doesn't necessarily have to be a homeless, quote-unquote, shelter. It can be, is there an opportunity for, is it a bridge house type thing?
Yeah, precisely. So just for truth be told, for all the listeners out there, I'm actually walking around in my gym right now here at home and holding a golf club in my hand.
That's what we're going to do with Melissa. We're going golfing with Melissa.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, I have to take care of my own mental health as well.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm so used to having a phone in my hand or sitting up on a podium on the stage. I haven't found a microphone I don't like yet. And I decided, I'm like, I just can't stand here. I need something in my hand. So I went out to my garage and grabbed a golf club. You know, so to your point, sports are in my background. And one of the things when I chose my master's degree, I have my master's from Syracuse. And I remember sitting with the head coach at the time, Mariana Freeman, who's a great mentor and friend of mine. And Mariana had always coached the young women on her team to not just think about Plan B, but to think about how Plan B aligned with their purpose. And so at the time, I was like, well, shoot, I'm going to go get my master's in arts or public relations because I need to be able to sell and build the best team I possibly can. Because if I'm going to be the best basketball coach there is, I need to know how to recruit and I need to know how to make sales. And so I went to get my master's degree, not because I was necessarily interested in advertising and marketing, as much as I was in developing and building the best team we can in our community. And I take that same approach when it comes to our shelter. How do I find, build, and recruit the best partners and the best community members to solve one of society's hardest problems? And that's really what I work towards, whether I'm here in Des Moines or traveling into some of our rural communities and helping to educate and serve. It's really about how do we build the best uniform team that we can, again, through compassionate accountability, to get the results that we all expect and desire to have when it comes to homelessness and food insecurity.
And I think the great thing that she said right there is she's not just focusing on Des Moines. She's focusing on where there are problems in the state of Iowa. And I believe she's going to help take care of a lot of those. And so she's going to go, okay, if I can't take care of all the problems in Iowa because I'm doing a really good job, I'm going to go here and I'm going to go there because it's everywhere.
Right.
People don't want to admit that, but it's everywhere.
Yeah, and oftentimes it's hidden within our rural communities. And, you know, I grew up in a little town, West Branch, Iowa, and one of the things that my parents taught me growing up was, Melissa, sometime when you make it, you've got to reach down and help that next person up in line. But in a little town like West Branch, everybody knew who was struggling. And that was one of the beautiful things about growing up in a small town. You know, sometimes people complain because they always know your business. But really, there's friendship and there's love and accountability there that I think is a lesson that is often forgotten in our larger communities and something we need to remind ourselves of as Iowans that, yeah, we can go and teach the rest of the world this.
And I think one of the things, and once again, we're talking to Melissa O'Neill, Chief Executive Officer, Central Iowa Shelter and Service. When we're talking about younger children, teenagers, what we have to realize, the quicker that we can get in and have somebody like Melissa sit down with them, bring them through a situation and try to get a good outcome. And the more outcomes that are good that happens, the more that they're going to go out and do, because that's when you're going to click that little switch in their minds and say, if she can help me and now I can help somebody, man, that feels really good. That's what we have to try to find. You know, it's easy to throw money at Central Iowa Shelter and Services. And I totally agree with that. And we should do that as much as we can. You need to go down and get your hands dirty, and you need to do that. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to have Melissa on. That's why we went down and toured the facility, and it has Jennifer and I very excited, and Melissa's going to get tired of seeing us. Well, she's not going to get tired of seeing Jennifer, but she's going to get tired of seeing me because Jennifer's her favorite and not me. So, but hey, I can live with that. But that's what we want to do. We want to help because she needs fighters with her, coaches with her, and we fit that. Scott and I and our families fit that mode, and we really want to help as well.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. And I don't think I'll ever get sick of our volunteers. I mean, it is such a team effort. I cannot emphasize that enough. Even when we go and serve our veterans in our community, oftentimes it's finding another veteran who served along with them that can just sit and have a cup of coffee and talk about their day. That is such a huge part. And so I'm actually going to give you guys four questions. I'm going to keep it really simple for you, because I'm not going to ask our community to go out and run a marathon if they can't walk around the block, okay? So I'm going to give you four simple questions, and I want you to think about how you could take a stance, again, for something greater than yourself, because that's what real leadership is, and four simple things. I want you to think about, what is one thing you can easily do right now?
Hey, Melissa.
No. Yeah.
We're up against. Can you just hold on? Can I put you on hold, and you can come back?
Yeah, go ahead.
Awesome.
Yep.
Thank you. You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott, live on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk to Real Sports Fans. We'll be right back.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3 Steen on Sports. Join the conversation on Twitter at Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Thursday. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're coming to you live on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700TheChamp, at SteenOnSports, at ScottBrower_13, and at HappyHour_SS. You can also check us out on Facebook at 1700TheChamp, and the website 1700TheChamp.com. You'll be able to download today's show. I'll get that up there. This segment is going to be brought to you by, Central Iowa Shelter and Services, since we do have Chief Executive Officer Melissa O'Neill. We talked way too long, didn't let her get through her thing. So she's going to give us four questions, and we're gonna spend some more time with her. And she's exercising. She's hitting golf balls.
I am, actually. This is
like a pretty good swing.
You got a good swing.
It
we can tell.
Has. You can actually hear that, huh?
Yes. Oh, yeah. You can't hear us, but we can hear you. We might have forgot to tell you that too, but hey, it's all good.
Good to know.
Okay, so you started out with your four questions, so we're ready.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to keep it simple. By the way, love the promotions you're doing on food insecurity, especially for young kids.
Yes.
And honestly, these are great four questions to engage. So it's really simple, and you can put this in the context of a variety of things in life. You could be zip lining on a ropes course. You could be heading into a crucial conversation at a business meeting, or you could be serving those who are not only living in our shelter or some of our kids through youth sports, the same four questions. So number one is I can easily. So it's just a dot, 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 fill in the blank. So yeah, I could easily stay in bed and not do anything. I could easily get online and fill out a housing application. I could easily go for a walk, okay? So keep it simple. Okay, don't overthink it. Number two is I cannot imagine. Now, this one's really important, because what you're doing is you're stretching the limit of a person's imagination. So maybe it's, I can't imagine getting housing today. I can't imagine going home and mom and dad actually having dinner on the table for me. Maybe it's a human trafficking situation, and maybe it's, I can't imagine getting away from my perpetrator. So this is really getting a better sense and understanding of where the person is at that moment. So number one, I can easily. Number two is I cannot imagine. Now the third question really starts to put into to focus for us where the person is wanting to go. And it's my challenge will now be. Notice I didn't say goal. Now, if you've done any research and work, like James Clear's book on Atomic Habits, you'll learn that it's less about the goal and more about the process, which is why question three is worded the way that it is. What is your challenge? What is your challenge? My challenge will now be filling out two housing applications. My challenge will now be next time I go to that convenience store and I see that phone number on the back, I'm going to call it. I want to get out of this, right? Maybe my challenge next be for that kid is to go to their coach and just say, coach, listen, I'm hungry. You know, part of the reason why I didn't play well in the game last night is I don't have enough food on my table. I don't know what to do, right? So now you're putting it into a language that people can use and understand. And question number four, I hinted to it there for a second, is what is your request for support? My request for support is, coach, can you help me get a meal before practice or the game? Right? So four simple questions. I can easily, I cannot imagine, my challenge will now be, and number four, my request for support. So each day while we're in the emergency shelter, this is the process that our team is going through first thing in the morning when we get people up out of bed. A lot of us have seen that video of the admiral that gave the commencement speech at the University of Texas, and he talked about the first thing needing to do is just make your bed. And so we actually use that. We say, today I can easily make my bed because I know that when I get home at the end of the day, even if I had an awful day, I'll still have my bed that will be made, and that was the first task that I completed for the day. And so it's less about the goal. It's more about the process and equipping people with the skills and language to know that they, too, can have an effect on the world and give them something that they could turn around and help support and use with other people.
I like that.
So I won't bore you with all the philosophy. Yeah, there's the four simple questions. You can use it in life.
I like the fact that it makes you think, because making yourself think, you can't. It's not a win or lose. When you set goals, we've all set goals. And you either accomplish or don't accomplish goals. So that's a win or lose. All these questions have no win or lose. It's just, I need to do this. I love that.
Well, you can't say the phrase give up when you get these four questions.
No.
Because, I mean, it gives you a first step, a second step. I mean, it's yes, there are four questions, but they're four steps.
But you could also just say, I could easily give up right now.
Right.
I am so tired. I'm so exhausted. I am frustrated, right? I could easily give up. But it's the next three questions that make you think about what is the next baby step? I didn't ask you to run. I didn't ask you to walk. I just asked you just to say, let's take one step forward.
And this is what we're talking about. And this is why this superstar right here is so much fun to talk to. She, I'm telling you, if you get to see her, you get to talk to her, she gets to come to one of your organizations and talk, you're in. And
I know it's not a good word, but she's infectious, dude.
She is.
I mean, once you listen to her, you're on board.
So we hope we can do this again, because there's always going to be stuff to talk about. We can take different angles on things. We can promote different things, and hopefully you'll just kind of every once in a while just become a part of our program so we can help become a part of your program.
No, I really appreciate your time today, you guys. And thank you so much for picking up a cause like CISS and all the work that you do. There are so many wonderful people that are all taking one small part of this puzzle and helping to promote the work that we do in the community. Really, hopefully we can spread the love. We can become infectious using the word that you had for good.
I love it. And make sure you tell Melissa tomorrow, the other Melissa, that I said hello, and we appreciate it.
I will.
I'll be back in touch, and we'll get you back on the show. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks so much, everybody.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I'm telling you.
Oh, I know, dude.
Rock star.
Yep.
It is. I'm not, well, somewhat. I mean, I'm not easy sometimes to impress.
I don't want to golf with her. Just to hear the swing during the break, I'm like,
did you hear that?
I'm like, oh, Lord.
She's like, oh, yeah. I can easily hit this golf ball through my garage door.
It's not making it lighthearted. It's not making it a B C problem. It's where is the opportunity to make change?
The hardest thing we could do this in a lot of directions, but the hardest thing for dealing with that is if you get somebody that sets a goal and circumstances, happenstance, something happens, and then you're like, oh, I didn't get my goal.
Failed.
That's you know, we are kind of a fail culture, and it's gotten to a point now that when we fail, it's just okay to just, I don't have to do anything because I can't do anything right.
They don't exactly have the transfer portal.
No, they don't
they
have
just
the
can't
transfer
go somewhere
portal.
Else.
Yeah, they don't have the transfer portal in life when it comes to that. And sometimes, you know, that's a really good point, because I think that is the people that complain about the transfer portal in sports aren't young people.
Right.
It's not people even our age. It's people in above 60 that go, you didn't fight hard enough. You didn't try hard enough. You're taking the easy way out. Now, we have no idea what circumstances are. And that's what Melissa's trying to say. We have no idea what circumstances were, because there's some really horrible human beings in the world that can make people's lives miserable enough to where they don't have an avenue to get anything else.
Right.
But it is always, and you can tell every time I've heard her speak, every time I've walked with her, how people respect her. She comes at this where we understand. She comes from it from an athletic standpoint.
Right.
That it has to be a team. She can't help that one individual, because that one individual may have nothing in common with her and they can't relate. But four steps down, she has somebody else that probably can relate.
Right.
That's the thing. They don't have enough people to build relationships from. You know, you can't keep having that same bonding experience with everybody. It doesn't work that
way. She's a recruiter.
Her
cause is her direction. She can figure out how to get you on board. What are you going to bring to the process? I need this slot filled. You're perfect for it.
Exactly.
I'm going to get you on my team.
So she looks at me, and I can talk on the radio, and then I can come help the cleaning crew. She looks at my wife as, you can come down here. You can help me figure out. You can take me through all the things in government and whirl me through, and you can help the cleaning lady,
right?
But at least I brought Jennifer to her, so I have to get credit for that.
Exactly. Like
so,
I said,
no, she is you know my wife and I's story. I mean, we when we first got married, we were house parents for mentally handicapped adults, and it changed our lives. And the thing it did, if we would have had kids at that age, I don't know if we would have been ready for kids. But when we had kids after that, it totally changed. I mean, it was oh my gosh, we've been doing this for so long.
Right.
It's like we had kids and they were like our grandkids, you know, just saying.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. But at that
you
point.
You weren't as overwhelmed when life started happening under
and
your
it was
terms.
So. It was so fulfilling. I mean, you think I was an arrogant person before that, you would have really hated me when you first met me before we did all that.
Yeah. I think you've definitely gone through some stages, but I love who you are now, buddy.
There you go. We didn't get to talk cause I wanted to get Melissa in here. So, we have Northern Iowa Belmont. That's going to be at 3:30 on Saturday. And then you get, if you're in your car, don't worry. 1700 The Champ, 101.3. You can listen to the Chargers, Jags, Dolphins, Bills, Giants, Vikings, Ravens, Bengals, and Cowboy Buccaneers. Let's hit a couple.
Does it say Ravens, Bengals, Cowboys, Buccaneers?
Ravens, Bengals, Cowboys, Buccaneers. Yeah.
Okay, because that's Sunday night game, Monday night game. Oh man, they got them all.
I can't believe they have a Monday night game.
It's the NFL.
I know. We can either
serve you a pizza with a lot of cheese, or we can spread it out thin over a few days. So yeah, they're going to cover a lot of time. They're going to take up a lot of airspace.
Let's just rapid fire, both of us pick games, and then we'll kind of explain how we thought. Seattle, San Francisco.
San Francisco.
I do too. Home game. The Chargers and the Jags.
I'm Jags. I am Trevor Lawrence.
At
the Jags.
And I'll take Doug Peterson over Staley. Yes. I agree with you. Miami at Buffalo.
Okay, I'm real. I'm saying it's going to be the Bills. I've got money on covering the 13, though. Just say it.
Skylar Thompson throws for 600 yards. That's
you
need.
Was that him talking about himself?
Yes, in third person.
What Skylar Thompson needs to do is what Skylar Thompson can do.
New York Giants at the Minnesota Vikings.
Oh, Lordy, dude. I am like majority of the people in the Midwest right now. I just don't believe in the Vikings.
I'm taking the Giants, too.
I'm going Giants.
I agree with you. Baltimore at Cincinnati.
Bengals.
I do, too.
Joe Burrow.
Would I be surprised if
Lamar's not ready, is he?
Here's one thing. It's going to be an ugly game. Dallas at Tampa Bay.
Tom Brady, Tampa Bay. Sorry.
After watching them play last weekend, Dallas, on a game that they needed to win to get, to have that mental.
Let's play the number game here as I'm looking at this here. So we've got the number 4 seed, Buccaneers, with an 8-9 record. Number 5 seed, Cowboys, with a 12-5 record. But the Cowboys are a 2.5-point favorite to win the game.
Yep.
At the Buccaneers.
At Tampa Bay. And Tampa Bay is getting healthy. He's going to have a couple of his offensive linemen back.
That's going to be huge.
Yeah, and they're healthy. And it is Tom Brady. I mean, it is Tom Brady.
That's
what's the Baltimore Cincinnati line?
Baltimore Cincinnati.
Is it 7?
No, the Bengals are favored by 10.
Ooh. I mean, that's I get that. It's not a quarterback. Here's the deal. I've seen Cincinnati throw some stinker games up, too, and I thought that game last weekend was a lot closer than I thought it was going to be.
Ravens defense. Tell me, are they healthy? Are they
healthy? And with Roquan Smith is a stud, just a stud.
I don't know. At this point in time, I know the Dolphins stumbled into, they won 5 in a row, lost 5 in a row, and it was 11-6 game. It was actually a 9-6 game. But they were doing the clown car drill at the end, throwing the ball around, and Miami got it for a safety. But it was not a offensive juggernaut of a game. So I don't know. But I still think Miami's defense, 13 points is too much in the playoffs.
It is too much.
It's too much. I think 10 points is too much in the playoffs.
Giants-Vikings? Oh, we'll come back to it. How about that? Once again,
just not on the Kirk Cousins thing, man.
Once again, we want to thank Melissa O'Neill, Chief Executive Officer, Central Iowa Shelter and Services, for coming in. Look it up, folks. She is a rock star. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. Scott and I will be back. Last segment coming up here in about 47 seconds. Check us out. We'll be right back.
It's Steen on Sports. 1700, The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, last segment. Wow. That went really fast. Got Shafe in here, have Melissa in here.
I know.
We didn't have to do much today. Just got to sit here, look good.
It's so easy.
Radio
when
look
you good.
Good.
People like that. Yeah.
You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're coming to you live on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports, at ScottBrower_13 and at HappyHour_SS. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ as well. It is time for me to do my DMOS, a little DMOS rap here. This segment is going to be brought to you by Des Moines Orthopedic Centers, helping you get back to living through orthopedic care. 3 locations, 6001 Westtown Parkway, West Des Moines, 1301 Penn Avenue, Suite 213, Des Moines, 350 Northeast 36th Street, Ankeny, Iowa. Services include foot, ankle, hand, therapy, hip, knee, shoulder, spine, sports med, sports rehab, trauma, and urgent injury. Des Moines, DeMoss Urgent Injury Clinics at both Ankeny and West Des Moines. No appointment needed. Look up wait times online at demoss.com. Hours are Monday through Thursday at West Des Moines, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m., and Ankeny is Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 3 p.m., and Saturday, 8 to noon. New to DeMoss is Engineer Performance by DeMoss, world-class sports rehab and performance training center in central Iowa, 1711 Southwest Plaza, or no, Southwest Plaza Parkway, Ankeny, Iowa. Also have a location in Huxley. Want to thank Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, Des Moines Orthopedic, Heritage Building Maintenance, and Palmer Group. Having lunch with Heritage tomorrow.
Oh, yes. Is it one of those where you don't go back to work in the afternoon lunches? Oh, okay. All right.
Because I have to come to the radio. So
oh, that's right.
Not, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
No. Okay. So what were you just talking about?
Actually, I had a question for you since I haven't seen you in a while, since I was out gallivanting.
You were.
How stoked are you for Jackson Filer?
I think it's a great thing.
I think he worked his tail off, and to get the opportunity is huge.
I do too, and he's a good kid, always been a good kid.
Yep.
And great family, and I think Iowa's going to be very, very surprised at what they got.
Well, and it's at some point in time, I'm going to text Rodney, because I think Rodney would be great to come down and talk to us for a segment.
Oh, absolutely.
Because the level, I mean, former Hawkeye, former Barnstormer, all the different things, but the pivotal nature of yes, he's Jackson's dad, but the process and training to create
the
wolf that he has become.
Josie, his daughter, is still playing. She's on and she's such a great kid. It's amazing. They did a great job.
She just had another stellar night. I saw that.
It's amazing. And that's the cool thing. For some of these young student athletes is with COVID, with all this, they're just letting people keep playing and they just want to keep playing.
Right.
I'm all in, man. I love it.
Right.
I think it's awesome. I think
I'm super excited for him. Super stoked.
I think I've had Rodney on before. It was Wolfgang and I think we did. I think Rodney would be great. I'd love to have him on. So
when we did the tailgate out at Shields?
Yes.
They were across from us, Rodney and, I just went blank, the running back for Iowa.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, yeah. So anyway, that'd be a good one. Very, very excited.
Who's been come in a couple of times as well.
Right.
My goodness. That's going to drive me crazy now.
To see that happen, super excited. Yeah. We just set it off the air, and it's kind of funny how you and I kind of, the Iowa-Michigan game tonight. I was kind of, I liked Juwan Howard when he first came out, and he was, you know, the name and the passion and of what
he Fab Five.
The Fab right? Five, what he did and what, and he, and you jokingly said it tongue in cheek off the air, he's an angry little elf.
He is an angry elf. Banks, last name. Tavian Banks.
That's right.
Woo! Look at that.
Look at you. But we're looking at a 10-6 Iowa, who the last few games have been,
really
to
well.
Me, really well. Again, defense isn't exactly a juggernaut, stellar juggernaut of a defense, but I mean, they're doing what it has to do. I think the Patrick thing has seemed to be a little bit of a mental reset for them. Now they're playing as a team, if you will. Michigan's sitting at 9-6. If you got two unranked teams, what's going to happen? Do you think the Iowa team that we've seen the last three games is who's going to show up tonight?
If it was a away game, I would have a different opinion. At home, I think they'll win. Hunter Dickerson is a really good player. They have both Chris Murray and Flip Rebecca that I think can neutralize him. I can never remember the Ola, their other center.
Yes.
And if I think he'll get some playing time tonight because I think they want him to beat up on him a little bit. I like that. They have to shoot well and they have to play defense. If they don't guard Michigan, Michigan can beat you. If they play defense they've done the last three games.
I'm not denying there's not talent on Michigan.
If they play defense like they did down at Nebraska, Michigan will win by 10. I don't think they're going to do that anymore. I'm thinking they're starting to take pride in your ability to play defense. And I think when you watch basketball and you take the top 10 or 15 teams, those teams all play in your face defense.
Right.
And if you're going to win at this level, that's what you have to do.
I'm just looking because it's Michigan tonight, Maryland Sunday, Northwestern, Ohio State, Michigan State.
Juggernaut.
It's a conference. It's as much as we say that you can blink and the Big 12 can flip on itself. you can get on a 5-game run in the Big Ten as well. It's not
ACC is not as good as it used to be. SEC is not as good as it used to be. Pac-12 is.
I mean, sorry. Purdue
is definitely not what it used to be.
Purdue is just wow. But I mean, Minnesota sitting at the bottom, but they're 6-8.
And that's the thing with Purdue too, is you have to stay out of foul trouble, and Zach Edey doesn't foul a lot, and but boy can he draw fouls. So
yes,
I wanted to talk to about one thing here really quick too. NCAA Division I Council, along with they did two things the other day. One was you have to get back to having better reasons than I'm not getting playing time to transfer without having to sit.
Right.
I'm in for that. I don't think that it should be easy.
So if you transfer the second time is when you have to sit out for a year.
I think so.
Yes, is what they were talking.
Yep. So the NCAA Division I Council has also approved a measure to turn all volunteer positions in baseball and softball into a full-time coaching position without recruiting restraints. Volunteers will officially become full-time coaches on July 1st, 2023.
All right, help me out. Describe a volunteer. What were they doing?
There was a whole
bunch. They were coaching, but they were volunteering.
They had not getting paid by anybody.
Okay, just wanted to hear from you.
The majority of your college baseball coaches, unless you're at Texas A&M, LSU, places like that, most of your people were not paid. They were just doing it to do
passionate
it.
Former players,
and it helps. And it helps with recruiting, so they can do a little bit more recruiting too. So I think that's a.
Did you just say two positive things about the NCAA, Gary?
I did. Well, I said one positive thing.
Oh, okay, all right.
Don't get crazy.
I say, wow, did you turn the corner there, guy?
No,
okay.
I did not. I don't know how. I mean, you're a music guy.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Beck fan.
Obviously know the name, influential. He's with the Yardbirds guitar. I mean, it's
crazy.
It's
Jeff Beck and Rod Stewart did a bunch of stuff together.
Exactly. That's where the name became more. But I mean, the Yardbird stuff.
I saw that, and I'm a Jeff Beck fan because I like listening like Stevie Ray Vaughan, Jeff Beck. I mean, there's a ton of them that are just fun to listen to, but. It reminded me of Rod Stewart, so I played like 3 or 4 Rod Stewart songs on the way over here, and I forget how much I love Rod Stewart.
Yeah, I mean, there was a time that he was cranking stuff. What was it, late 80s, early 90s, that it was a lot of stuff coming out.
Oh, my goodness.
In his Rachel Hunter years.
This was the thing. Sometimes when we're talking about playoff football and just football in general, and because he's done so well, sometimes we forget how good Patrick Mahomes is. And this popped up today. Patrick Mahomes has won 8 playoff games in his career. Every other AFC starting quarterback in these playoffs have won 7 combined. You take Tom Brady out, and Mahomes has only one less playoff game won than the entire bracket, except for if you add Tom Brady.
Right.
And he's been in the league for 6 years, 5 years.
Don't you think they're loving it that nobody's really talking about?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Andy Reid's just going, "Oh my goodness, I'll take this every day of the week."
But then again, it is quote unquote wild card weekend where we've got the Chiefs as a bye and the Eagles as a bye. So no, we haven't been talking about them.
Yeah,
we've been talking about can Brock Purdy. I mean, when I say we, I mean even the national guys. It's can Brock Purdy do this? Is Trevor Lawrence, is he a year ahead of schedule? Are the Vikings the paper giant that the majority of the people think they are? And they're a 3 seed.
Trevor Lawrence got a bad draw, too. Now, Joey Bosa is...
What, are you saying Urban Meyer was a bad draw?
No. I'm saying getting Los Angeles. But you get him out. You get them outside of... I keep saying this, too, and I don't know why I do. Anytime the Los Angeles Rams or the Los Angeles Chargers have a home game, they're not their home games. There are more people cheering against them because it's such a big stadium that neither one of those two teams sell well. Even after winning a Super Bowl, they didn't sell well.
Right.
That's just a tough draw for a young team, but maybe they're young enough where they don't. I think they have a little bit of the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions had absolutely nothing to play for against the Green Bay Packers, just except for the pure enjoyment
of beating
the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers.
Exactly.
It was awesome. Thanks for being in here today. Good to be back. You're going to hear more of us next week. You've been listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. listening to us live on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. You got me tomorrow, then we will see you on Tuesday.
Wednesday, Thursday.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.